What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. I hope you are having an unbelievable day. I want to say thank you for joining us this week. And in this week's episode, I sit down with Belinda Ellsworth. And to give you a little bit of her background, Belinda, she has been called a trailblazer in the industry of sales training and personal development. Over the last 25 years, she has built three successful businesses, and she's helped thousands of professionals create a successful life while also maintaining the balance of a work-life balance. And now her passion has led her to start her popular podcast. It's called Work From Your Happy Place. And it was actually picked up by iHeartRadio in 2021. And a few things that we dive into on this episode is Belinda's 5 D's to find your next destination, excuse me. We talk about what stops most people from working from their happy place. And we also talk about what does working from your happy place really look like, and how can you start to make that shift in your own life? You're going to enjoy this episode. Belinda, you'll hear it in her energy, is a joy. And if you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week on this show. And without further ado, my friend, here we go. Belinda Ellsworth, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure, and I'm excited to share with your listeners.
I love it. So as we dive into our conversation today, I would love to start really where you and I just spoke about before we hit record, and we're talking about, you know, finding direction in your life. How do you sort of navigate those transition moments? And you brought up that you're going through one of those moments, and you've lived, and we'll get into it on this show. You've lived a lot of life. You've lived an incredible life. You've really shaped and created a life for yourself, and designed one that's been beautiful. And I'm excited to dive more into that, you know, throughout today's conversation. But I would love if we could just start with what you were talking about, that you're going through one of those moments where you're in the throes of finding direction. And I love how you said that it's so exciting. And I think people don't always associate those two. So can you just fill us in with kind of how you're finding direction, where you're at?
Yeah. So after 28 years of being a professional speaker and consultant and sales trainer, and literally when I say a professional speaker, I think some people don't understand the fullness of that. I mean, when COVID happened, I was booked up between 6 and 8 speaking engagements throughout the rest of the entire year. So that's about how much I would do on a monthly basis, and had been doing that for 25 years, sometimes more, but on average about 8. And so when that happened, the whole year was wiped out. And so then I was quickly like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? And because I had a staff, and I was like, I need to pivot here fast. And so we did. And I upped my game as far as I offer a planner. So I started offering additional things to go with that, like gratitude journal and additional accessories for working in your office, and different courses that would align with that. And we actually were able to save the business. I mean, generate Amazing. Enough income that kind of matched that. So that was all good. But then I found myself that I was saving the company. So I was in this survival mode. And then that continued into year 2. And then that actually has continued into year 3. And then in year 3, which is now we're in right now, in September, I was just like, I'm not happy. I'm sitting here teaching all of, you know, talking on my podcast about working from your happy place, and I got all these entrepreneurs going, you know, if you're not happy with what you're doing, you need to find something else. And I found that I was la, 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 and I just would sit on my own podcast and think, that's how I feel. Like, I'm kind of wasn't living the life that I really wanted to be living and that I had lived. And so what I really realized is I had to really go through a grieving period. Like, okay, my life is not going to be like it was. Like now, you either like feel sorry for yourself or you say, oh gosh, remember when, or you say, all right, what's next? And you've got a choice. Like everybody has choices. And I'm not saying that it was as easy as what I'm just describing to you, but it literally was. It took a couple of months. My daughter went off to her first year of college in September. So then I was feeling that. And I was like, okay, time to make new choices. And I have my podcast, and my podcast has been very successful. But I really had not worked at making that a business. It was something I super enjoyed and I loved it. It was another leg of what I do, but I hadn't monetized that. And so I was like, all right, I've worked for the last 6 years building this up. It's time to go big or go home. This is the next journey of my life. And so I did it all. I threw myself into taking all kinds of courses. I took another podcast course. I had taken a podcast course at the very beginning of my podcast journey, but I thought, yeah, time to level up, time to learn more. And started getting myself on other podcasts like yours, which I hadn't really done in the past. And I'm launching a subscription box. And so I took classes on that. And then now I have all the products and they're like on their way. And our first box is going to launch in May. And I've just been busy, like busy and busy. And I still have those moments of some days where I wake up and then I think, what are you doing? Like that whole imposter syndrome starts to sink in and you go, what? And then you just got to take a couple deep breaths and say, you know, you've got this. Like, I truly do believe if everybody would decide what it is they want, get as knowledgeable as they possibly can. I teach this whole triangle thing. Your work ethic, you got to be disciplined. You got to step up. Yeah. Like I had to work many, many hours more than what I was accustomed to. And then networking. And I started networking like crazy, like I hadn't done in a while. And it's just taken off. So, it's launching in May. So it's just it's a new part of the journey. It's exciting. Yeah. It's scary. It's everything. It's like all the feelings all wrapped up into one.
That's amazing. So I love, again, this energy you have about a new start, a fresh page. And I think, you know, everyone listening to this, myself included, can take a page out of your book that says when a new page comes, it's going to be scary. It's going to be some things that are unknown. But if you can bring this sense of it's going to be exciting and you can use that language around it, it really adds this beauty to it. And so if we dive into, you know, you've sort of found the next direction for yourself. But if we dive into the technicals of it, you know, when you had this epiphany or this realization of, okay, I have the podcast, right? That's all about work from your happy place. And I'm not there. What's sort of the technical part that your brain goes through when you say, okay, get clear on what I really want, right? And then you said, once you're clear on what you really want, start studying it. But if we just even dissect that first part, how did you get clear on the answer of what do you really want?
So I'm going to be extremely super honest here. So
please.
I had come back from taking her off to college and I was feeling kind of down and I got really sick while I was out there. And then after I got home, I ended up in the hospital and it was with an infection. And it was after I got home from there that I started thinking about I started thinking in a very scarcity mindset, like, okay, I just got to work enough to get her through these college years. And then I can maybe think about maybe even retiring or what does that look like? And so I started having this crazy conversation with myself and then I got mad at myself. I was like, that isn't the life I want for the next, like I've enjoyed the life I've had for the last 28 years, to be quite honest with you. And I'm like, no, I still want to travel. I still want to do all these exciting things. Yeah. I want to, you know, if she lands in New York, which is where I'm guessing that she will, it's like, I'd love to get a place there and be able to hang with her. Yeah. And like, I want that to be the next stage of my life, not like trying to make it, you know,
survive.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And Yeah, I don't want to be in survival mode anymore. And you can either be in survival mode or thrive mode. Those are your two choices in life. You can either survive or thrive. Which are you going to choose? So I had that conversation with myself. And the funny thing is, I've been teaching this 5D program for like 35 years. Like, seriously. And so I just went back to my own training. I'm like, and the very first D, everybody thinks they got to have desire. Like, you know, oh, desire is going to come first. Or you have to have determination first. And in reality, the very first D in the whole process is making a clear and concise decision about what you want. And when you make it, it's amazing. It's almost like you feel like a weight's been lifted off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter. Like, think of the difficult decisions in your life. Maybe like, oh, you know, do I quit this full-time job? Do I go off and do this? Do we move in this house? Do we move to a different house? I mean, like, just take a house, for example. If you said, all right, should we stay in this house and fix it up because it really needs repairs? Or should we just, like, leave it and buy a new one? And until you make that decision, you're just waffling the whole time. Like, you don't do anything. You don't fix your house up. You're not happy in your house. You're not looking for a new house. But the minute you make the decision, it doesn't even matter which way it goes. Like, if you decide, okay, let's stay in the house. You go, all right, we're staying. Let's fix this place up. What's the first thing we're going to do? You go into action. First, the desire kicks in, and then you go into action mode. And so that is those D's. It's make a decision. The desire builds. You follow through with daily actions, and you almost always get your destination. And then to cap all of that off, you have to have determination. You have to stick with it, even when it gets tough. And when you hit a roadblock or a detour and you just say, okay, this is the path I'm on. This is the decision I made. This is where we're going. And that is kind of what I did. I made the decision, and the excitement kind of started to grow. And then I started with the daily actions, which for me was, all right, it's time to go back to school. It's time to get as knowledgeable as you can.
Beautiful. So and I think a big piece to just reemphasize on what you said is, when you make the decision, are you making the decision from scarcity and survival, or are you making the decision from thriving, right? Is it a thrive decision, or is it a survive decision? And, you know, I think a powerful question to ask themselves again for any of our listeners is, are you in a season of surviving and that's where your mind's at? And do you need to flip the switch to say, like, I deserve more? Like you said, it's like, you do deserve more.
Absolutely. Everybody does. It gets to a place of like, how bad do you want it? And for me, that I want that. That's the life I've had. It's the life I want back. I'm not ready to settle. And I've got a ton of energy. Like, I kind of started buying into that. Well, you know, and I had a lot of my friends going, you're starting something new now? What are you doing? Like, several of my friends have just recently retired. And I'm like, what am I going to do with myself? And it's so funny. One of my friends today posted, because she just retired like last Friday. And she goes, well, cleaned the house. This is at 9:30 this morning. Did this. Now, what will I do for the rest of the day? I thought, I don't want to be there.
So funny. So I would love to dive into your podcast a little bit. I know, you know, this podcast you started, is it 6 or 7 years ago now?
It's 6 and a half right now. So it's going on 7.
Okay. And I love the theme of your podcast, Work From Your Happy Place. As you and I were talking about before we record, we believe here in living a life full of happiness, passion, and fulfillment. And so I'm curious for you, when you created the idea Work From Your Happy Place, and when you think of the idea of Work From Your Happy Place, like, what does that mean to you at the core?
So When I decided to do the show, it was like, well, what does that mean to most people? It means they love what they do, so it doesn't feel like work. Yeah. Like, if you love what you do and you have a passion for it, you won't like, oh, I dread going to work on Monday, or oh, can't wait till Friday gets here, or any of those feelings that you have of just dread, right? You don't have those feelings. But what I've discovered, and it's actually been an epiphany recently, because there's like one of five things that people always say when I ask them, what's working from your happy place mean to you? Every once in a while, I get an outlier. And what I've realized in it, because I know what it means for me, really. Yeah, it means loving what you do. But for me, throughout that journey, it is, am I making a difference in somebody else's life? If I am really making an impact and they're saying to me, you made an incredible impact on my life. Well, there's nothing that makes, like, that brings me a tremendous amount of joy and happiness that, it, through my creating my own path in life, I've helped other people create a path in life. And so what I've, here's the five things. And what I've come to understand, I used to look at them all separately. Like, oh, it's what it means to you. Oh, it's what it means to you. But what I've learned is on the very surface, it starts here. And then you add another layer. And then it's another layer. And then it's another layer. So like for a lot of people, they'll say, oh, it's me finding my passion and just loving what I do every day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then other people will say, it means freedom to me. And this is the first freedom that they say. It's like, and there's a lot of people doing this right now. You know, my son's off in Thailand right now and he's got his laptop and working. It means I can go to Costa Rica for 4 months. I can work from the beach. I can work over here. So when I hear people say that, I'm like, okay, you know, that's not a real desire of mine, but I'm like, okay, that's what that means to you. Then the third layer is I get to choose. Like I can work, but then I can take 2 hours off and go pick my kids up from school and walk them home. And I get to balance life and work. And so that is a little deeper, right? Like we're getting deeper with this. And then the fourth, people will say, it really means I'm serving others. And so that means what I do is serving other people. And then the fifth one is really that final stage. Not only are you serving them, but you are changing their lives. And so that I have come to realize is really, for all of us, it's all of those things, but it's a journey that you will take. And throughout that really fully working from your happy place is when you are loving what you do. You have freedom to choose. You can work when you want. You serve others and you are making an impact and changing lives. That's the fullness of that happy place.
Amazing. And what do you think is the biggest roadblock that stops people from living that? Because it sounds like a beautiful place, but I think we might both agree that a majority of people don't live there. So what do you think is some of the big roadblocks that get in the way for people?
The biggest one is fear. Fear and resignment. Like people will say, oh, well, I went to school for 8 years to do that. I've already worked here this. Like they feel like, well, I've already done this. This is what I do. And they can't possibly see beyond that it's okay to make a change because it's scary. It's super scary. Yeah. And there's fear behind that. And then it's that whole, you know, when I talk about that triangle, the center of that triangle is the belief that you have in yourself. And I think that some people lack that, and maybe it's just lack of self-confidence. It's fear. Yeah. It's taking a risk. Some people were taught their whole lives, you don't take risks. And it's just ingrained in them from a very young age. You know, you take the safe route. A 9-to-5 job is security, which we know it really isn't. But for some people, you know, I'd rather count on me any day of the week than count on somebody else. And I've been working for myself since I was like 20. So it's been a long time. And I still would rather work for myself than work for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And it was talking about this idea around, it was called like the 60 or 70% rule of confidence and belief. And essentially the idea was if you believe with 60 to 70% that you can achieve this thing that you're thinking about doing. So if it's a new job that you're looking to get, if it's something you're looking to do in your business, if you have 60 to 70% belief and confidence that you can actually achieve this thing, then it's worth taking the risk to go achieve that. Right. Versus I think sometimes what happens is we wait to have 90% belief, right? 99.9% confidence and belief that we can achieve this thing. And that stops so many of us when the reality is the only way that you have these continuous growth moments in your life where you find yourself working in your happy place is taking that, like, that scary leap. It's almost like that unknown and taking that jump is part of what makes it your happy place at the end of the day, because there was some risk required to get there.
Yeah. Like, when I first started, when I became a speaker, I was working at that time. Well, actually, so I had worked on my own. Then I went corporate. Yeah. I decided, oh, that's what I need to do. And I just wasn't really happy there. And
you went to work for someone in corporate.
I did. I had been a sales trainer for a particular company, and then they hired me and said, we want you to open up Canada. We want you to develop this. And so I said, okay. And I was making a nice salary and bonuses, and but I wasn't really happy. And I literally, it was the same thing then. I literally was flying home from that home office, and I had been really, really encouraged by some other motivational speakers. They're like, you're way too talented to just be here. Like, you need to be doing this as a living. And so several people had told me that, and I was kind of like, really? And I'd kick that around in my head, and I'd think about it. But the safe thing was keeping the salary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the safe thing. And so I was flying home from there, and the meetings didn't really go well there. And so I was sitting on a plane, and these other gentlemen were on the plane. They were all executives from Ford Motor Company. And they said, so they were there golfing in Chicago. They're like, what do you do? And I just said, I'm a motivational speaker, and I teach sales strategies. And the guy goes, oh gosh, you know, I'd love to get your card, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he asked me what I charged. And so I'd already done some research, like, on some of it, like, what if I were to do that? So I just threw out this number that seemed like a good number. And he was like, okay. And so I went on home, and I was like, all right, then I guess we're going to do this thing. And it was in September. And then I left. No, that was in May. I left in September, quit that job in September, and started my business in October. And I kind of just, like, sort of got it going. And by January, I was getting booked as a speaker. And that, it literally went that fast. And then by April, I was booked up like 3 and 4 times a month, and it just kept increasing. And I eventually did end up speaking at Ford Motor Company, which is too funny, right? But But the thing I think also that holds people back is they want a guarantee. They want a guarantee that it's all going to work out and it's all going to be perfect. And a lot of people look kind of at somebody like myself, and they see a big challenge maybe that you're having, and they go, oh, I couldn't deal with that. It's like, yeah, it's a challenge. Like, doesn't mean that when you're working for yourself and you're happy and you're loving what you're doing and having all those other things, it doesn't mean it's going to come without setbacks or challenges or big, huge roadblocks sometimes. Like, when your product is supposed to arrive and it's 6 weeks late and everybody's paid for it and they're mad at you. So you just have to say, okay, that was a little setback, but you kind of have to take care of your customers and figure it out. And but golly, you're never going to have it perfect. There isn't any situation in life that's perfect. We're striving to enjoy that life, have balance, love what we do, but that's not saying it's going to be without setbacks or challenges or frustrations or any of those things. That's life.
Yeah. So true. So perfect sort of place to bring this up. So you go into your speaking career where you obviously rather quickly things start to take off. And one of the big things that you taught for so many years and still do, I'm sure, is sales, right? And really becoming a master at that in your life to create a life that you enjoy and you love. And I'm curious, what do you think is the importance, like, of sales in someone's life, whether they're in a sales position or whether they're not even in a sales position?
At the end of the day, we're all in sales. Like, you're selling something, whether you're selling yourself or you sell your kids on the idea to eat their vegetables. You sell, you're selling somebody on a great movie that's good to go see. Like, we're always selling, and people just kind of don't look at that. I love sales. It's an art form for me. I just think it's fun. Yeah. It's it gets me going like nothing else. Like I love the analytics of it. I love the closing rate. I love everything. Yeah. And that's not typical of a lot of females struggle with that side of it, where men are very good at the analytics and going, okay, if I make 10, I know if I make 10 calls in a day, my close rate is this, I will close this much, I'll make this much money. They can like sort of map it out, and they're really good at sticking to that map. And women are just much more relationship, and I don't want to be pushy, and I don't really want to bug anybody. And I'm like, if you would just create a chart and make 10 calls and know that out of those 10 calls, this many people are going to take you to the next level. And of course, I teach all kinds of skills in sales that are helpful.
Yeah.
And the biggest one, which is what I try to teach, this is where women are better than men, is like, it isn't about just getting in there and getting that sale. It's about finding what the customer needs and listening to what they have to say. What is their pain point? What's the benefit that you can provide for them versus let me describe this glass to you, right?
Yeah.
And men are much more like that. And so I think that, gosh, if we could learn to take our strengths from each other and combine those, you'd be an incredible salesperson.
Yeah, I love it. And I agree too. It's like sales, whether you're in a sales role or not, it's like, it's one of the most important things in your life, because you have to be able to sell yourself, right? Especially as we talk about this idea of working from your happy place. It's like, you have to be able to sell yourself on the idea that you're worthy of it, that you deserve it, that sell yourself that you should take the leap, take the risk, right? Not have the guarantee. And then once you sell yourself, that's only when you make that decision that you spoke about earlier,
right?
And then that kicks everything into motion.
It really does.
Yeah.
But you have, I mean, there's so much more, you know, it goes into work ethic. You have to be disciplined. You have to set a schedule. I'm really big on schedule and systems, like having systems in place that make it easier for you to actually be successful. Have a schedule that is consistent, that you know when your feet hit the ground in the morning. Like I pretty much know what my Monday looks like. Yeah. I know what Tuesday looks like, you know? And so I don't have to waste too much time going, what am I going to do today? Because I kind of know what I'm doing that day. So
I love it. So Belinda, it's been a joy to dive through some of your life and pull some wisdom from it. I really do appreciate you for being here. I'm curious, if our listener wants to hang out with you more, get to know you, spend time with you, where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah, so I would really love them to check out our podcast. That's where I'm at 3 times a week. It's called Work From Your Happy Place. I have workfromyourhappyplace.com is our website. We've got our new subscription box launching, which is called My Happy Place, and it's going to be so fun. And so your listeners can check that out. That's going to be really awesome. And the details of that are on our website. And I just really started on Instagram with Work From Your Happy Place. I hadn't really done that. And so we don't have a lot of followers, but they can follow us there. But I'm building it fast. We've gone from zero to, I don't know, almost 700 in like a month and a half. So we're just going to keep doing it, right? Just keep doing it.
I love it. Amazing. So last question I have for you. We ask this to every guest because we want to help our listener find direction, but we believe in doing it through action. Is what would you say is one thing our listener can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I would ask them to sit down and write out, what do I really want, and why do I want it, and what would my life look like if I did that? So first write that out, like really write it out and journal it out and say, what do I really want? And then why do I want it? And then what would my life look like if I got it? Like those are three key questions. Yeah. And then do a pros and cons sheet. Like I always say, okay, what is the best thing that could happen to me if I did that? Okay, what's the worst thing that could happen if I go for it and I don't make it? And then it's almost always you stop and you look at how this is so this is where I want to be so badly. Yeah. And then you look over here and you go, well, that's the worst thing that could happen to me. Could I live with that? Like for me, when I started my speaking career originally, I said, what if I fail? Like, what if it doesn't work? Because what would my life look like if I did it? Like, yeah. It would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
But what if I failed? Well, I'll go get another sales job.
Yeah.
I'm actually very good at sales, so I go get another one. So what? And then I was like, well, heck, I can live with that. So let's go. Yeah.
I love it. Beautifully said. Again, Belinda, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your wisdom. And we'll make sure that we send, you know, all our listeners to check out your podcast, everything you're doing. And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got some nuggets from that conversation with Belinda. More importantly, I hope you take some of those nuggets and start executing on them in your life. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for being here, and I will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care, my friend.